John chapter number 8. We're going to be right back in the book of John here, and just a pivotal chapter, the Lord's ministry. And again, we're working on, really, I know we're only in chapter 8, but it's the last 6 months of Jesus' ministry. And really, he's starting to have these, I don't know what to call them, but have these showdowns with some of his enemies is kind of what we would say. Now, what we would understand about that is that Jesus, there was never a showdown. You know, there was never anyone who could outsmart the Lord or tempt him or kind of get him up back on his heels. He's completely in control the whole time. And in fact, why is he continuously dealing with these people who won't believe? I've asked myself that question. Why does he allow them to come back and ask him more questions? And it's because what's happening is, as he is dealing with his enemies, there's always people on the side watching. And what you see, and I start to notice, as you look at these stories of the Lord, and he's you might just call it an argument, although he's speaking truth and they're speaking lies. But when they're having these discussions, what you'll notice is there's always people standing there to the side that are on the fence. There are always kind of some souls in the balance. And so I believe the Lord allowed himself to be questioned, allowed these interactions with the Pharisees and the scribes and that kind of thing, so that there were other people there who would believe. And so this morning we have one of the other, there's several, we've talked about this in the book of John. It's a book full of I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the bread, or I am the living water. I am, as we're going to see today, the light of the world. Later, I am the shepherd, the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. I mean, he goes on, he's saying all these I am statements. Well, here he makes another I am statement, and it causes a conversation between him and his enemies. And again, what you'll see in the end of our text, there's some people hearing all that was said that believed on him. So I hope it'd be an encouragement today. I'm going to talk about Jesus, the light of the world. So if you're in John 8, if you'll stand with me just quickly, we'll read down through verse 30. We'll start in verse number, let's start in verse 12. The Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." We're going to spend most of our time in that verse. We'll get to that in a second, but I want you to see this conversation that plays out and what happens. "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, get this, nor my father." We're talking to lost people here. That's who he's talking to. "You don't know me, and you don't know my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." You see, he's in full control, the whole thing. Verse number 22, "Then said the Jews, verse 21. "Then said Jesus unto them, again unto them, I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews," this is interesting, Jesus just told them they're going to die in their sins. And then they say, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come." They kind of missed an important statement there. "And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, Then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And notice this, as he spake these words, many believed on him. There's that crowd that's standing there, they're watching, they're listening, they're hearing Jesus say, I am he, I am he. If you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. And while the Pharisees rejected Christ, there were some there that believed. So let's talk about the light of the world. Father, we do thank you for the day. I thank you, Lord, for what we've already experienced this morning. Lord, just in our Sunday school time and in the service thus far, we pray that you would please work in our service now, Lord, that you would use the message for your honor and glory. In a crowd this size, there's no way I can personally know what everyone needs. So I'm thankful we have the Spirit of God and a living book, God, that can do its work, and it can touch literally every heart this morning that allows it to. And so I pray our hearts would be open, our minds ready to hear what you have for us. And Lord, I just ask that you would bless, Lord, give me the words to say and empower me through your Spirit. And I'll ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I wanted you to hear that conversation, and I'll reference that conversation again here in just a little bit. It's pretty straightforward. Jesus makes a declarative statement, I am the light of the world. And then, rather than believing that, they go on to question, you know, who Jesus is and whether he is who he says he is, and basically, like, what backing do you have to say something like that? And they're just a people that are refusing to believe. And by the end of the book of John, they've hung Jesus on the cross, and they've still refused to believe. And even after they lifted him up, and just like he said there, and they kill him, and he raises from the dead on the third day, they all gather up and go, uh-oh, he rose from the dead. What do we do now? Well, you would think they would believe, but they still don't. They say, let's cover this up because we don't want this word getting out. And so you just have a group of people that are so obstinate that they won't believe anything. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is standing right in front of them. They won't believe. It's amazing. And he's having this conversation, but there's people around that are hearing everything that he is saying, and they are affected by it. And so what we're going to do today is look at that verse number 12 and then thinking about the conversation that he had. And I hope that we're some of those that just can look from the sidelines and say, man, we believe. We believe. And I hope you are a believer today. So Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And connected with that, he makes a couple of statements. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, I want to say first that if Jesus is declaring himself the light of the world, he's also pointing out that the world is a very dark place. Why would you need a light? You only need a light if you're in darkness. And so by him declaring, I am the light of the world, understand he's making a stark contrast between himself and between the world. And he's telling them, there is no light in this world. The world is a very dark place. And if you know your Bible, you know that that's what the Bible says. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I am telling you this morning that the world is a very dark place, Christian. If you didn't know that, you need to know that. And it's funny because man thinks that we're getting better. The lost world, they think we're getting more enlightened, that we're understanding more all the time. But what's happening is we're just going, and I'm just talking about the world, not the believer. So just understand, we are to follow Christ. We're not supposed to be in darkness, but the world, the more enlightened they get, you know what they're doing? They're just following the devil right into just further and further and further into the darkness. The world is a very, very dark place, spiritually dark. As we saw the missionary video just a little bit ago, one of the things that was said is they have temples. They have a great culture. They have a rich, the people and all the different things that are mentioned. There's shiny statues and there's great giant buildings, but it's spiritually dark, dark. What's interesting about darkness is that those who are in the dark don't know it. Now, I know physically I can tell whether it's dark or light. God's given me eyes, I have vision, And so I can tell you that it's light in here right now. I can tell you that. But spiritually, do you understand if you're in the darkness? This is what I'm about to show you, a verse in the scripture. If you want to look at it yourself, it's in Ephesians chapter 4. Spiritually, when you're in the darkness, you don't know that you're in the darkness. Because darkness obscures and darkness hides. And darkness, it confuses, and it's hard to find the truth when you're lost in darkness. A lost man doesn't have the eyes, the spiritual eyes, to see that they are in the dark. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, if you're there, look with me in verse number 17. He says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." That means the emptiness of their mind. So there's nothing going on up there spiritually. That's what he's saying, the vanity of their mind. And he says, having the understanding darkened. Having the understanding darkened. That means that there's a darkness over their understanding, which simply means, and I'm not trying to be unkind, they just don't get it. They just don't see it. They don't understand. There's something wrong with the thinking. Then he says this, being alienated from the life of God. Being alienated. That just means to be completely separated. Right? Completely separated from the life of God. Notice, through the, and here's the word that's used, ignorance. The ignorance. Now, ignorance doesn't mean stupidity. Ignorance doesn't mean dumb. Ignorance means they don't know. So they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the, notice the word, blindness of their heart. So what we're talking about is a group of people, and Jesus is coming on the scene. And these people, they think they have it all figured out. You need to understand this. These are the religious elites of the day. They think they have it all figured out. And they're steeped in their traditions and in their Judaism and their synagogues and their rabbis. And they think they have it all figured out. And Jesus comes along and says, you know what you need? You need to understand you're in the dark and I'm the light. They didn't even know they were in the dark. And spiritually, the world, the lost man today, doesn't know that they need the light. And it's funny to watch. It's not funny. It's not funny at all, actually. But it's interesting to watch as man goes further and further in the dark. I'm talking about from a believer's perspective, where we have the Holy Spirit of God and His Word. We know what's right, what's wrong. A Christian can see light from darkness. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us. And so we can understand that. And we see the world just marching along into darkness, all the while thinking they got it all figured out. And they're the smart ones. And they're the enlightened ones. And in fact, the scriptures say that they'll even get to a place where they call good evil and evil good. They'll put light for darkness. No, it's in Isaiah chapter 5. I wrote it down here. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Boy, isn't that going on in June of 2026. I mean, it's exactly what our nation is celebrating with Pride Month, is they're calling evil good and good evil. It's just the truth. And as they march on into the darkness, not even knowing they're in the darkness, the believer can see truth from error. The book says in Proverbs 4, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, the path of the just is as a shining light. I mean, if you're walking with Him, you can see clearly so that you don't stumble. But as Proverbs does, it compares and contrasts different things. He goes on to say, the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. You ever been up, if you ever had little kids, I know this has happened to you. You get up in the middle of the night and you're going to go get a drink or whatever. And you walk through the house, you trip over something and you didn't turn on any lights and you're going, what was that? What did I just trip over? Well, if you're in our house, it could be anything. I mean, you can't even imagine what all it could be. That's what it says about those that are the wicked. They're walking around in the dark. They don't know. They don't even know at what they're stumbling. And as a believer, it's appalling to see what the world thinks is acceptable and what the world calls right and what the world calls wrong. It's astounding that anyone could ever come to some of the conclusions they come to. How could you ever think that killing a baby in the womb is good and make a case, a moral case? And I'm not trying to get on all the topics of the day, but I want you to know our world is extremely dark and extremely wicked, and they don't even know it. How could you possibly murder a baby and then make a case that it was the moral choice? Can I tell you something wrong with the thinking? That's someone who's walking around in the dark and doesn't even know they're in the dark. The lost world doesn't know they're in the dark. They're blinded to the light. They desperately need the light of the world. They need Jesus Christ, and that's what he's doing. He's showing up, and he's making a declaration. And they, again, they've got it figured out in their minds, but he's saying, you know what you need? You need the light. You're in the darkness. You're stumbling around. You don't even know what you're doing. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me. It's so cool when someone gets saved. And that's good enough right there. It's so cool when someone gets saved. Amen. I had more, but really, when someone gets saved, it's so cool. What's really, I just love about it is I've learned that you don't, so, now again, we do discipleship. We try to help people in their walk with Christ and everything else. And so we do try to instruct some things. But what's interesting is I don't usually have to beat anyone over the head about certain things. They just learn. It's like one day they weren't saved, everything was fine. The next day they get saved, and all of a sudden they just know, well, I can't do that anymore. I can't say that anymore. I shouldn't go there anymore. I shouldn't think like that anymore. And I'm going, what happened to them? Well, someone turned on the light. Someone turned on the light, and the things they used to stumble at and not even know they were in the dark, now all of a sudden those things are obvious, glaring mistakes that they need to stay away from. That's because somebody turned on the light. The Holy Spirit has come in and illuminated their heart and given them an ability to see right from wrong and to feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if you've ever been in a dark place and someone came along and turned on the light, it's a blessed thing. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. When he says, I'm the light of the world, there's really a few different aspects of this we could talk about. I thought about three or four. First of all, it's just an expression of who Jesus is. It is an I am statement. He is the light. So it could be just talking, he could be just talking about the brilliance of his person. John tells us in 1 John, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. It just this literal description that Jesus is brightness. Did you know what it says in 2 Thessalonians? When the Lord comes back to this earth, he's not going to fight with a sword. Well, it'd be the word of God, the sword out of his mouth, just the word. But he's going to destroy his enemies, it says, with the brightness of his coming. I'm talking about light that's so bright, he destroys his enemies. It just describes who he is. He is light. In Genesis chapter 1, and I know that Jesus spoke the worlds into existence, so I know he said some things before the scripture was written, but I'm telling you, the first written words of God, the first spoken words of God, after seeing the heaven and the earth without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep, it says that God said, let there be light. That's our Savior. He's light. It's just who he is. This will boggle your mind a bit, but you know he said that before he made the sun. The sun was on day 4. But on day 1, he goes, let there be light. Where'd that come from? His person. Moses had an experience with God where God was taking him up into the mountain, and the children of Israel were down below in the foothills of the mountain, and they're looking up, and they see the mountain just covered in a thick darkness and a cloud, and there's thunderings and lightnings. And Moses, every now and then, and you could look at the story, he's able to come down and relay some things to the children of Israel, and they were afraid of him because Moses' face was glowing. It was glowing. Why was it glowing? He had been in the presence of God. And the light that emanated from God in those moments apparently shone on his face. He had to put a veil over his face so the children of Israel would talk to him, because they're going, Moses, what's wrong with your face, man? It's like I don't want to give you a funny example. It's just something's going on. And he didn't even realize it, but the light of God was shining on his face. God is light. When we see people meet the Lord in the Bible, they're always astounded by his brightness to the point where they hit the ground in worship. A brightness that we can't comprehend today. John's already told us in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He says this, in him was life, and life was the light of men. This came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. So when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he quite literally is light. Then it is also talking about his character. The world doesn't have good moral character. It's a dark place morally. It's a dark place spiritually. But the metaphor of light to Jesus is his divine perfection being pushed forward, that he says, I am the light. It's not that he contains or possesses light, that he is the light. It is his character. It's who it is. Again, John says, in him is no darkness at all. Another thing I thought about is this, when you turn on the light, light reveals things. Now, that's deep. Light reveals things. You want to know what's in a dark room? Turn on a light, because then you can see. It reveals things. Did you know this? Things don't look the same as they in the dark as they do in the light. We went to men and boys camp a few weeks ago. When was that? Last week? Man, you know how time is. We were just there. And at one point, I come out of the tent in the middle of the night. You know how you have to do. And I come out of the tent, and a moose was out right outside my tent. Now, it wasn't the kind of moose you're thinking of. It was a black Labrador, right? And his name was Moose. But for a split second, you know what I thought? Why is there a bear 6 inches from my tent? You know? And so it kind of gave me a little, oh, what's that? You know? I'm okay with bears, just not in my tent, you know? So then I'm out there, and I'm looking around in the woods, and I mean, there's a rock up there, and it looks exactly like a bear. And I'm going, okay, yeah, it's not moving, it's something. I know it's not a bear. The next morning, you know what I did? I went out and looked at that rock, and sure enough, that rock looks just like a bear. But in the light, it's not confusing, is it? It just takes a little light to know that that's a rock. You'd never mistake the rock for a bear in the daytime. Light reveals. And that's what's so good about it. That's also what man fears about it. Because light reveals. It reveals sin. You understand, Jesus just had this interaction with this group of people that brought this woman who was caught in adultery. The Bible says in the very act. And they wanted Jesus to make a determination whether she should be stoned or not. And Jesus just ignores them. He's writing some things on the floor there. And then eventually he does stand up and he says, he that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. And what the Lord did is open his mouth and he shined a flashlight on all those guys. And one by one, they left being convicted of their own conscience. Jesus just said a short little phrase, but what he did is he just opened up a little bit of the light, and all of a sudden they could see their sin and their wickedness, and one by one they left. You see, the Lord reveals sin. Light reveals sin. Jesus is here to bring light to a very, very dark situation. The Lord uses the name, one of his names in John 1 is the Word of God. And we understand the Word of God is that we look in and it reveals the character of God. And by that, it is a mirror to us and it reveals our sin. Why sometimes does man like darkness? And listen, I'm going to talk about salvation. I'm also going to talk about discipleship because this is just the truth of the matter. If you're lost, you're in darkness. Maybe you don't know it, but you're in darkness. But you know a Christian, a blood-bought, saved believer can wander away from the Lord back into the darkness. So let's just apply it everywhere. Why do we like darkness? Darkness hides. Darkness conceals our sin. Darkness makes us seem better than we are because things look different in the dark than they do in the light. And if we could just cover it up, if I hang out in the darkness, I could just cover it up. Darkness doesn't just hide, it also obscures. It messes up our thinking. Again, things don't look the same. So we can take a sin that God's appalled at and we can say, well, it's not a big deal. It's not a big sin. Or maybe not just that we would categorize our sin, but maybe we could compare our sin. Well, I'm not doing as bad as Brother Mark over here. I can pick on him, you know. Everyone's like, what did Brother Mark do? Mark didn't do nothing, okay? I just didn't want to use your name. You're welcome. Sorry, Brother Mark. No, we do that. We compare our sin. In the dark, it's pretty obscure. It's not white, black and white. It's not right or wrong in the dark. But Jesus declares, I'm the light of the world. And when you get in the presence of Jesus, notice our verse here, verse 12. Notice this. I am the light of the world. We've established that. That's just a fact. That's who he is. But then he makes two statements here. He says, it's really one statement kind of with two parts. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Okay, there's part one. If you follow Jesus, you will not walk in darkness. You shall not, but shall, here's the other part, but shall have the light of life. So let's talk about the light of life first. Believing in Jesus is the door to eternal life. It is the light of life, and it's found in Jesus, and it comes from believing in him. We went through that conversation and looked at what he said to the Pharisees, and he said to them, because you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. It doesn't get much clearer than that. I am the light of the world. I'm the one that can bring you the light of life, spiritual life. And if you would believe in me, you would be saved. But if you reject me, you will die in your sins. The truth is the same today. If you haven't, there's kind of a couple of statements I want to make that I hope are black and white enough and have a period at the end so that you get this. If you are not saved today, person, you are in darkness even now. And you need to let the gospel, the word of God, Jesus Christ, turn the light on in your life. I was at Grow yesterday, and we almost didn't do Grow because it's so windy, but then it kind of calmed down. We were able to get out there and get some flyers out. And when you go on Grow, you always have, a lot of times you're just putting things on people's door, but you always have some interactions. And yesterday I had a couple of good interactions where people were excited. Oh, that's cool. Thanks for coming out and inviting people to church and that kind of thing. You know what? I had one yesterday that I could tell they thought it was silly what I was doing. They thought it was almost a joke to them, just in their demeanor and how they talked to me, you know, condescending. And listen, I'm not crying about it. Jesus went to the cross for me. The very least I can do is go, you know, get rejected by someone passing out a flyer. I'm not bragging at all or anything like that. I'm just telling you, this person, and I can see their face right now, they kind of laughed it off and thought, you know, it's almost like how embarrassing is it that you need this? I don't need this. And you know, this is just my heart as I'm walking. I'm thinking they were so close. They're walking and they're completely engulfed in darkness, and they don't know it. This man is lost. He's in his sins. He's on his way to a devil's hell. But he's got a nice house and a nice car and a nice yard, and in his mind, he's got it all figured out. And here's a guy coming along saying, hey, let me introduce you to the light of the world. Would you come to church with us? And he almost kind of makes fun of it. And what I thought is, dude, you're walking in the darkness and you don't even know it. And you were so close. You were so close to Jesus being able to turn on a light. And you said no. I'm here to tell you, if you're listening to the sermon this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Lord wants to come into your life. He wants to light it all up. He wants to forgive you of your sin. You can't gain that any other way. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. All you can do is what Jesus said, which is to believe on him. And he's talking about in who he is, that he is the light of the world. He's talking about what he would do, that he would go to the cross and die for our sins, that he would raise from the dead. And then he would, out of his mercy, offer us a free gift of eternal life. It doesn't make sense that someone would reject that. And I always think like this. I think there's going to come a day if that person didn't get saved, if they don't get saved before it's eternally too late, and I pray that they do. But if they don't, there's going to come a day where they'll be somewhere in hell close to the rich man, and they will remember that interaction. They'll remember that I was this close to the light. And I said no. So he says, I'm the light of the world. Believing in me, this is how you get the light of life. But notice then what it says for the believer, for anyone. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Christian, you cannot follow Jesus and also walk in darkness. Did you get what he said there? He goes, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Why is it then that I see so many Christians stumbling around in the world? It's as if they're in darkness, not knowing truth from error. Christians with zero discernment and spiritual decision-making capability. Why? Falling for the world's way, not discerning doctrine, sound doctrine. They got one foot in the world, one foot at the church. They're comfortable in the darkness. Sin does not bother them. Their walk with Christ is shallow. They can turn it on and off. They avoid church. They avoid the preaching. They avoid reading their Bible. Why? Here's the second statement. If what I said just describes you, hear me, you are not following Jesus. You can tell yourself you're following Jesus until you run out of breath. If those things describe your life, you are not following Jesus. Jesus never has and never will lead you into darkness. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So when I see a believer that's walking in darkness, what I say is they're not following Christ. When I in my life find myself, because it happens, I find myself somehow in darkness, obscurity. Listen, it's because I've stepped away from following Jesus. Let's stop lying to ourselves and telling ourselves that we're truly following the Lord and we're just doing the things we like at the same time. Jesus says it can't happen. You think any of those disciples that were following Jesus had a side life in the world? No. It was deny yourself and follow me, or be like Judas and just hit the trail. It says in 1 John 1, 6 through 7, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So many believers are lying to themselves. They're saying, well, I love Jesus, I'm following Jesus. But their lifestyle, their decision making would tell you the opposite. You just can't do both. I'm just honest enough to tell you, you cannot do both. It's possible for us believers to get off of the trail. The good news is this. I came to give you good news today. Light always defeats darkness. Always. Scientifically, even. When God said, let there be light in Genesis 1, the darkness had to flee. When you walk into a room and turn on the lights in your living room this afternoon or this evening, you're not going to see a battle happening between light and darkness. The darkness is going to go away and the lights are going to come on. Light always overcomes darkness. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 2, then I saw the wisdom, that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. When you invite Jesus into your life, the darkness has to go. It says, as I read in 1 John, let me read you the next verse, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So the solution is very simple, folks. It's very simple. If you've wandered out of the light, the way you fix that is you get back to the light. Jesus says, if you walk with him, if you walk in his light, fellowship is restored. It's so crazy. And we all do this. I mean, myself included. When we get away from the Lord, can everyone just admit there's been times you got away from the Lord? When we get away from the Lord, you know what we typically do? We avoid the very things that we need. When I get away from the Lord, I don't want to read my Bible. Why? Well, if I look in there, it's probably got something to say to me. I sure don't want to come to church, hear the preacher preach, because he'll have something to say. He always does. But when we get away from the Lord, we start to avoid the very thing we need. Oh, I'm just not feeling it tonight. You need it then. That's when you need it. Oh, I can't deal with, that's when you need it, folks. That's when you got to say, what does God want me to do? I will drag up. I will do what I need to do. I will be in church. I will be in my Bible because I need to get back to the light. I asked Brother Mark to go get me this bandana. Because I started thinking, if there would be any volunteers that would like to put this on, let's see here. This is going to get dangerous. Oh, this feels really weird. If they'd like to put this on, go through the rest of your week just like this. Anybody want to volunteer? Hold on. Okay. Anybody want to volunteer? How dumb, can we agree, how dumb would it be to have been gifted the gift of sight and light and say, you know what I'll do this week? I'll put a bandana on over my face and I'll walk around because I just can't take the world this week. I'll just go around, at least I won't be able to see it. You wouldn't get out your front door. I'm telling you right now, I just about fell off the stage when I put that on. I don't know if it was vertigo or what, but it just... But folks, that's how so many Christians are living. No, God saved your soul. He brought you the light. And then, well, I'm not reading my Bible today. I'm not going to go to church. Where's the stage? Where's the stage? Not going to go to church. Not going to pray. It looks foolish. I know. It's how we look to God. When we don't do the things that keep us in the light, you're putting a blindfold over your eyes and saying, I'll get through my week this week. Spiritually, I'll just get through it without Him. I feel, as embarrassing as that looks, I feel like this is about where the average Christian is. They're not reading their Bibles. Preachers always preaching about reading your Bible. If you read your Bible, it's a couple things I've learned. If you read your Bible consistently, you pray consistently, and you come to church every time the doors are open, your life will change. Your life will just change. Oh, is it because you're such a good preacher? No, not at all. Has nothing to do with me at all. It's being under God's word 3 or 4 times a week. It's having Christian brothers and sisters that can encourage you and help keep you in the light, keep you on trail. But too many Christians are going, you know what, I'll just put the blindfold on this week. And God's blessed you with spiritual sight. We're out of time. I want to keep preaching because, you know, the Lord said this. And I'll just give you this real quick. Later in John, we'll get to it. I'll have opportunity to preach it. Don't worry. Later, Jesus says this. This is Jesus speaking. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Is Jesus in the world today? Not, be careful. Trick question. Physically, He ascended to heaven. But you know what He said to us? Ye are the light of the world. The Lord is, He dwells in our hearts now. We are the light of the world. He's not physically, He's not here. He's at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting to take the kingdom. He's here in us, in the church. And we're walking around like this. We're the light of the world. How are you going to show someone else the light if you got your eyes blinded? So Jesus is, He's giving these folks an opportunity. These Pharisees they'll never come around for the most part. A few of them did. Nicodemus, he came around. Apostle Paul, I'm glad he came around. But most of them wouldn't. But there were some there that heard all this and they said, you know what? I'll believe Him. and they became his disciples. He's the light of the world. It's a fact. The question is, are you in the light? If you're not a believer, you're not in the light. Believer, if you've accepted Christ, but you're not living, if you've got one foot in the world and one foot in Christ, you're not in the light, you're not following him. You need to come back to the light. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity. We don't deserve it.